Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Blog Talk Radio and LombardiAv.com, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be bringing you everything Green Bay Packers for as much as our time allows. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Davey Miller. And welcome to the Packers Sports Panel. Joining me on the sports panel today are fellow Lombardi staff writers Tom Marquardt, Kevin Dickens, and our producer, Ray Rivard. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome. We're looking forward to your insights today. Kevin, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you, Davey?
Excellent. Thank you for joining us on this Packer sports panel special, if you will. Now, guys, since our last show on Tuesday, a lot has happened. We've gotten confirmation that Aaron Rodgers is going to be out. He's got a broken clavicle. Still, the time frame's not concrete, 3 to 6 weeks, six to whatever weeks, but it seems to be, you know, around a month at least that he's going to be out, certainly going to be out this Sunday against the Eagles. And that's another announcement that Mike McCarthy stated, I believe it was yesterday. Seneca Wallace will be the starting quarterback. They know T.J. Lang is going through protocol concussions. We're going to talk about that. They also activated since our last show, and that was just Tuesday. A lot's been going on. They activated Scott Tolzien to be the backup quarterback from the practice squad. And then to take his place on the practice squad, they signed Alex Gillett, 6'1", 214-pound rookie out of Eastern Michigan. He was with the Packers for a couple of months during training camp, and he was cut on August 26th to fill that final spot on the practice squad. So with all of those things happening, let's get right into it then, Kevin. We'll start off with you. Now that Seneca Wallace is the starting quarterback this Sunday against the 4-5 Philadelphia Eagles, what can we expect from him and that Packer offense?
Well, what I would expect is Mike McCarthy to tailor the game plan around his strengths. He is a mobile quarterback. I think that does help the offense because, you know, I think people are going to be keying in on this newfound Packers running game. So I would look to, you know, maybe a couple of read options, some bootlegs to get him out of the pocket, to establish himself, get him some confidence. And I expect Jordy Nelson and James Jones to play a huge role. They need to be huge. They need to be big to keep Seneca Wallace's confidence up. And I know a lot of people around, you know, Packers Nation are kind of shaky about it, but I think Seneca Wallace has had some good years. When he was with Cleveland, he did play some pretty good ball. He just didn't have the talent around him for sustained success. I think here in Green Bay, it's a different story. I expect for a team as talented as ours to help him. And I think he should thrive in Aaron Rodgers' absence. So I do expect big things from us this Sunday and, you know, not to be as conservative as we were against the Bears without that game plan ahead for him. I do expect good things for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always try to be very positive when I look at the Green Bay Packers. And what I am thinking, Kevin, is Josh McCown for the Bears was an 11-year journeyman. Had a week or actually two because of the bye to prepare for us. He only had, I think, 33 starts in 11 years. And he came in and played like a very solid quarterback. And obviously he only has average skills because he's had, you know, 11 years in the league. But he's got that valuable experience. And I think experience is more important at the quarterback position than anywhere else on the field. Even though those five hotshot rookies came in last year and kind of broke that mold, I think that was more of an aberration. I think at the quarterback position, and I think McCown proved that, that if you've got experience and you can slow things down and you can just manage the game and rely on your teammates to help you pull out a win, throw the ball away when you have to and not try to throw it into a crowd, the sack if you have to. That's experience learned, you know, read the defense. And I think that's exactly what Seneca Wallace brings. Same storyline as Josh McCown. He's only 5'11". Yeah, Russell Wilson and Drew Brees is both, you know, around that size. But I'm not saying he's those type. But he's, you know, you can get it done in this league, at least for the short term, at 5'11". And hopefully Rodgers is only going to be out this three-game stretch, probably four, because that fourth game is a short week on a Thursday against Detroit. So maybe he'll be back, you know, 10 days after Thanksgiving, hopefully. That would be awesome. And in the meantime, if we can stay out of these next four games, Kevin, what's it going to take record-wise, you know, considering that the Bears and the Lions are right there on our heels, can we survive if we say, Lord forbid, we only go 1-3 during this four-game stretch? Of course, it depends on how other teams do as well, but what do you think our record is going to be over the next four games? If Wallace is the quarterback all four games.
You know, if you look at it and break it down, you're talking about Chicago and Detroit playing this weekend. So somebody's going to, you know, somebody's going to be in a loss in the Elk, or somebody's going to have four losses. You know, Philly, I think, might have, you know, they might have found their groove. I don't know how much that's to say. As it the credit to how bad Oakland is playing right now. But, you know, I don't expect Philadelphia to be able to walk into Green Bay and beat a Green Bay Packers team. That should not be the case. The rest of our team should be – you realize that Aaron's not going to be here and they need to play better. In his absence, we need wins. This is a huge game this weekend. It's going to prove who we are, and they need to play better. And, you know, there's a grudge there between us and the New York Giants. They should play with a chip on their shoulder. As you know, as Aaron plays, and we should play, they should look into going into that way. And then going forward, I mean, the Detroit game will probably be a tough game with a short week, and it's the Detroit Lions, and it's Thanksgiving. It's going to be a huge game. You know, we should be able to get at least three out of these next four and keep ourselves in the playoff race. If we can't, all we can do is hope that, you know, someone is having a few bad weeks. I think this weekend will help us with Chicago and Detroit playing each other, but we need to play to our potential, and we should be able to get at least three out of four coming up here. And, you know, we got Minnesota at home. You know, that should be any added motivation. That's a divisional game. It's a must-win. These, you know,
well,
at least three to four.
We're going into a four-game stretch that, you know, are winnable games, but as I wrote the other day, they are also losable games. So it's going to be critical, as you mentioned, that everybody steps up. You know, there's more talent on the team than just Aaron Rodgers. You know, there's Tremont Williams and Sam Shields. You know, there's that vaunted defensive line that was a disappointment we're going to talk about next. And actually, Tom Marquardt has joined us. And I'm going to throw this question at you, Tom. You know, the defensive line, they really took a step back last week. Kevin and I talked about on Tuesday's show. It was a disappointment. It looked like they were worn out and was tired of getting beat to a pulp and beating people to a pulp the first half of the season. They just looked tired. Moving forward, and certainly now that everybody knows, you know, the score, everybody knows Aaron Rodgers is going to be out. Wallace is going to have a week to prepare. Everybody's got their mind wrapped around that now. Moving forward, I think the hat needs to be on that defensive line. I think they need to take control of this team, take control of the games, and just start beating people into submission, which they had done the previous seven games prior to the Bear game. So, Kevin, what's your thoughts on that? What can we expect out of the defense, and is it important that they put the hat on themselves?
Was that for me? No,
not Kevin. I'm sorry, Tom. Sorry, Tom.
I think it's really going to help the defensive line getting both Nick Perry and Clay Matthews back, if that's the case. I heard they were both practicing yesterday, so that's good news. It'll take a little bit more, offensive line to keep those guys back if they're going to rush in the edges. So I think there's going to be a lot less double team on the inside for our big guys. But you're right, they do have to take control of that offensive line. And that was a lot of problems in the secondary last week, too. They couldn't get any pressure up the middle. They didn't get to the quarterback, and one exception was the phenomenal throw by Josh McCown.
Mm-hmm.
On that first touchdown pass where he just about sacked. So it's getting the pressure on the quarterback is key, and I think that pressure from the outside is really going to help them with Clay Matthews and Nick Perry coming back.
Mm-hmm. The big question is going to be how much of a factor is that club that Perry had to wear last year, ironically, and now this year Matthews, who all outside linebackers use their hands quite a bit, but he certainly does as well. And with that club on there, it remains to be seen how effective an 80% Clay Matthews would be over, say, who else would they put over there? You got Perry and Neal. They're probably just going to play all three of them, thinking out loud, and hope that they can just all hold the fort. We seem to be getting healthier. There was only two people on the injury report yesterday from practice. That was Rogers and T.J. Lang, who is going to go through is going through concussion protocols as we speak, seeing if he can get back on the field Sunday. But we don't know if he's going to be there or not. Now, Tom, I'm going to stay with you. In Monday night's game, they moved Barclay into right guard and brought in Marshall Newhouse at right tackle, who played terrible once again. I was starting to get comfortable with him at the backup tackle, talking about Newhouse. But he just kind of reminded us all just how terrible he is. You think the Packers are going to go that route, or are they going to insert Derek Sherrod? Yeah, that's another one they activated. I forgot to list that since the show. They're going to put Derek over there at right guard, or are they going to put Lane Taylor in there? I mean, right tackle, or put Lane Taylor in there at right guard. Tom, what do you think, buddy?
Well, I think, you'd like to see Sherrod back. I mean, it's been so long since he's been out, and we haven't seen him in a game. I haven't seen him in practice. I don't live close enough to see that kind of stuff. But he played well before he got injured 2 years ago. I don't know if he can get back to that kind of form. But, that would be great if he could. You got to do something about the protection issues maybe move Seneca Wallace out of the pocket a little bit more, uses mobility to get out of there. I mean, they do that with Rodgers when, they have some protection issues and it works. Maybe somehow take the pressure off the offensive line and open the space up a little bit more. I mean, if T.J. Lang can't go, that's going to be a big issue. But if they can somehow, piece it together, that's going to be a big part of the game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a very big part of the game, particularly now with the emphasis on the running game. We were just gelling so well, not only with Rodgers at quarterback in the run game, but with T.J. Lang, that whole offensive line, having played every snap together up until Monday night, just cruising along. Hopefully T.J. Lang can play, but when it comes to head injuries, I'm never in any hurry to get him back. I don't care how important they are to the team. That just always scares me. So I say stay out as long as you have to. We'll win or lose with what we have. And, Lane Taylor's an interesting prospect. He weighs about 325 pounds. He's a mauler from Oklahoma State, I think, or Oklahoma, one of the two. He's from that Big 12 conference where, they play power running football. Of course, it's changed a little bit over time, but
kind of a passing league now, but still the linemen in the trenches in that conference, that's major college football. And he was a four-year starter, so he's not the sharpest guy in the tack, to be honest with you, at a very low Wunderlich score. But, you know, he is an option. And then, Kevin, let's get back to you. We briefly touched on the linebacker situation. It does seem like Clay Matthews and Nick Perry are going to be coming back. Now, they placed Barrington on IR. Boy, it was a busy week. Why don't you just update us and tell us your thoughts on the linebacker situation? Because that's been a very fluid position week to week. Go ahead.
I think, you know, being able to get Clay Matthews and Nick Perry will be huge for us. With the complications that the Eagles offense brings to the front for us, I think that speed edge rush from Clay Matthews and his discipline will be able to keep a very quick and stealthy runner like LeSean McCoy intact. I think, you know, having experience with Nick Perry on the outside will also help. Just brings a new attitude to the defense, which is something we need, because after Monday being pushed around, they're going to need some more help. The Eagles are, Chip Kelly thinks he's got his offense grooving now. And, you know, it's going to be very up-tempo. They need all the bodies that they can handle going forward, because we looked very tired on Monday night. And with this up-tempo offense coming, we're going to need everybody we can. So to get maybe Nick Perry and Clay Matthews back, it's going to be huge for this defense. It's going to be huge morale lift, you know, with losing Rodgers. But having, you know, a leader like Clay Matthews coming back could be a huge boost to confidence. Could be a huge boost to our team. So, you know, I'm looking forward to big things from them coming forward this Sunday and hoping that they can step back into where they left off and continue with the success they had to help our defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be wonderful, and that's certainly the way that I'm thinking too. And, Tom, I'll tell you what, the Philadelphia Eagles have been kind of a lightning rod throughout the league this year. I've watched about half of their games, and I followed them through training camp. They started out gangbusters against, I believe, the Redskins on national TV. Then they went cold. Now they're hot. They've had some injuries of their own, particularly Michael Vick. But now Nick Foles is standing in there, threw for 7 touchdowns last week to tie an NFL record. How's Chip Kelly's first year at Philadelphia going? And what's going to be one of the keys to the game for the Packers to win on Sunday?
Well, Chip Kelly's, obviously, you've mentioned, he's been up and down, started like gangbusters, and then we found out that the Redskins weren't, as good as everybody thought they were when we played in the second week and just thrashed them ourselves. It's kind of been a growing process with Michael Vick hurt. Nick Foles played horribly. He had, you know, the one good game last time, but he hasn't been very effective at all from behind center. And, you know, the one time he ended up getting injured, they brought in their third stringer. I can't remember the guy from USC, Matt Barkley, came in, and he didn't do anything either. I think the key to the game is, A, you have to contain LeSean McCoy. He is every bit as good as Matt Forte, and I think he's better. I think he's a little bit more elusive, and he's a little bit smaller, so he's a little, you know, kind of a little more shifty. That's what they call him. They call him Shady McCoy, but
He's a threat every time he has the ball in his hands.
That's correct. That's right, and that's where you got to contain him. I mean, he'll go for 50 yards. He can catch the ball in the backfield, and he's not, you know, super easy to bring down. So that's the guy they need to contain. Now, on the outside, they have DeSean Jackson, so you can't sell out to the run and have one guy covering DeSean Jackson, because if he gets behind somebody, you know, I don't have the strong enough arm, but if I did, I could throw the ball to him because he'd be 10 yards behind somebody because he's that fast. He's only 5'10", 175 pounds, so he's not going to go across the middle, but you can't let him behind anybody, and, you know, you got to make sure you tackle him as soon as you get the chance. I mean, you look at the game a couple of years ago, it was the playoff game we ended up winning, where our defender got shaded by the the ref. I mean, DeSean Jackson just ran for, you know, 50 yards after that play with no problem at all. So those are the two guys we need to contain, and I think a lot of that comes from run discipline and also getting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, you can't throw a 50-yard bomb if you're, you know, you got somebody hanging on the quarterback. And you, you know, certainly can't, you know, get outside, LeSean McCoy outside, or, you know, let him get around you because he's going to, you know, cut the corner and he's going to, you know, get a 15, 20-yard gain almost every time. So those are the keys. I think defensively we can do it. I think offensively the Eagles' defense is really not, you know, that good. I mean, they're, if they try to stack the line, we can still make some plays. Their defensive backfield's a mess. Their linebackers are kind of a mess. And their defensive line is kind of a mess. They've been up and down all year. And, you know, as far as Chip Kelly's offense goes, until last game, I mean, before that, it took two games where they didn't score an offensive touchdown. And they lost to the Giants. And, I mean, the second team they lost to, but it was not some powerhouse. So the teams they've beaten have not been that good. They beat the Giants once. They beat the Redskins. So they're beating up on some bad teams. So, yes, they're dangerous, and if you, you know, let them stay in the game, then, you know, there's a chance they can win. But I still see a victory for the Packers on Sunday, whether, you know, without Aaron Rodgers, as long as their defense plays like they're capable of.
And, Kevin, what is your assessment of Chip Kelly so far, the first half of the season? You know, when he came in, well, actually as we reached the quarter pole, I was thinking, well, he'd make a great offensive coordinator because he needs to learn that as a head coach, he's got to coach that defense too. And as Tom was just alluding to, the defense, particularly at the beginning of the season, was also one of the factors in the Eagles struggling and one of the factors in their turnaround. So that was my assessment in the first quarter. The second quarter seemed like he learned in the first quarter, and he's getting better as a coach. But what's your assessment of Chip Kelly moving forward? Is he a prototype? Is this the new wave, this, you know, wanting to get up to 90 plays? A game, as an example, the Packers ran 55 plays against the Bears. With Aaron Rodgers under center, they'll normally run in the mid-70s. Kelly's wanting to go 90 plays a game. Give us your assessment overall of Chip Kelly and his style of coaching and his successes so far this year.
You know, I've always said this about Chip Kelly. When he was at Oregon, I thought this fast-paced offense was too much. I thought it tired the kids by the end of the year. And I thought, you know, if you had time to plan for it, you'd be prepared for it. If you were physical against it, then you were a good match for it. And I think his successes so far, like Tom said, are kind of against very subpar teams. Oakland is not very good. That's just, you know, and they beat up on the Redskins the first game of the year, and he didn't really know what to expect out of that offense. So you didn't really know how to game plan for it. Beating the Giants, you know, that's not to say a whole lot. Tampa Bay, they still haven't won a game. I don't really want to say that, you know, this is the new age of offense, because I don't think it is. I think this is the NFL, where physicality is huge. I think their offense is too finesse, and I think if you push it around enough, it's going to crumble. He might not have the quarterback to run his system. Yes, Nick Foles went crazy last week and he threw for 7 touchdowns, but Oakland's defense is a mess. You know, and to be honest with you, they don't even have an offense really to guard or to keep anybody off the field to protect their defense. I expect a team as talented as Green Bay to manage the clock, to run the ball. I think that defense is still very, very suspect. Rashad Jennings had a very good day against it last week, albeit it was in a blowout, but he still performed very well. I expect, you know, Eddie Lacy and James Starks heavy doses to keep the Eagles. You know, I expect even keeping 8 men in the box won't be enough to stop Green Bay or Philadelphia. And I just think that, you know, so far Chip Kelly's doing the best he can, but I don't think this is the kind of offense that is going to work in the NFL. I didn't think it really, you know, they beat up on people in the NCAA, but when they play quality competition, they lost. So, you know, I just think it's you know, call it what you want. The offense is it's gonna move, but I don't think it's gonna be effective. I think Green Bay can slow it down. I just think our corners need to play better. I would expect Sam Shields to play against Deshaun Jackson. As much as I love Tremont Williams as the next Packer fan, he is struggling. He is struggling big time, and he struggles with really big receivers. The other guy on the other side is Riley Cooper. I would hope that maybe Casey Hayward would play more than Tremont Williams would one-on-one with Riley Cooper, maybe transition Tremont into the nickel slot, you know, play the slot receiver. I just think he's having some troubles out there. I expect Green Bay to play a lot better than they did on Monday. I expect them to be prepared. I expect them to be physically dominant. You know, let the Eagles run their plays, but understand that every play is one to win. You win the play, you win the down, you win the game.
Well, give me your score, Kevin, for this Sunday, and then I'm going to ask Tom for his prediction as well, but you pretty much gave me your rundown on the game, so why don't you close out your portion of it by giving us your prediction on the score and your final thoughts.
I'm going to say that Green Bay is going to win 24-17. I think that Eddie Lacy is going to have another huge day. I expect James Starks to have another huge day. I'm looking at Eddie Lacy, 20 carries, James Starks, 15 carries, and I'm expecting both of them to combine, you know, for at least 200 yards like they did on Monday. I expect Seneca Wallace to get comfortable in the pocket. A 200-yard passing day from him would be a huge benefit for the offense. And the defense needs to make some turnovers. I don't know what the deal is with it. We need some ball hawks. We need some people. Maybe getting Clay Matthews back will inspire them, you know, get after and try to make some turnovers, but they need some turnovers. I expect 24-17 Green Bay to win this game and, you know, to put a lot of smiles on people's faces that it's going to be okay in Titletown.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then, Tom, why don't you go ahead and give us your final assessment of how you're expecting the game to play out on Sunday and your score?
Well, I think it's going to be a defensive battle, and you know, the Packers are going to really shut them down, I think. I mean, I really don't see, you know, unless there's huge mistakes, I don't see the Packers, you know, not stepping up to the plate in this situation. Being at home, I think the Eagles are going to have a tough time moving the ball, as they did the two previous games prior to last game. You know, they might have got some, you know, some confidence from last game, but that was against inferior talent and inferior team. So I expect the Packers to step up, hold them about 13 points. They'll score enough. I think they might stall in the red zone a little bit unless they, you know, try to do some read option stuff, get Seneca Wallace out of the pocket. You know, I expect the offense to, you know, maybe struggle a little bit, but they'll hold on to the ball enough. And they'll get a couple touchdowns, a couple field goals, and end up with 20 points. So 20-13 is what I see. Hopefully, Seneca Wallace surprised me a little bit, you know, when he's working with the ones. He's going to be a little more accurate on his throws, kind of, you know, get in sync with the receivers a little bit more. He did miss a few last week, and that might have been due to just not having enough work with him. So, yeah, that could truly change the whole game if he's now in sync with the receivers and hitting Jordy Nelson in stride and hitting Boykin in stride. You know, they could run all over that defense. So, you know, I hope it'll be better, but I'm looking at 20-13.
20-13. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Well, I'm going to go 23-20, thinking that each team's going to score a couple of touchdowns, and then it's going to be a game of field goals after that. A couple of field goals for the Eagles, about 3 field goals from Mason Crosby, giving the Packers a 23-20 win. Let's hope we're all right. No matter how it turns out, pretty ugly, blowout, or close, we just need to get the W as we start this stretch without number 12 behind center. Thank you for listening to the Packers Sports Panel from LombardiAv.com and Blog Talk Radio. For Kevin Dickens, Tom Marquardt,
and our producer, Ray Rivard. I am Davey Miller. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Roy.